In this episode, Mark Traphagen is here, and we're going to talk about social media in 2018 and why it's time for social media to grow up.
Discover how video can help you achieve your sales and marketing goals. It all starts right here in Todd Hartley's Video Marketing Mastery, brought to you by Wirebuzz.
Hey, what is up? What is up? I've got a good friend of the podcast, Mark Traphagen, with me today. Hey, Mark.
Todd, it is always, always, always a pleasure to be with you, my friend.
Mark, I agree, man. And it seems like it's not every day that one of the biggest topics in America happens to be around digital marketing and social media. So a great opportunity for the two of us to kind of talk about what's going on in social and what steps social media and also businesses need to make in order to mature their social presence. You cool with that?
Absolutely. It's something I'm giving a tremendous amount of thought to these days and writing a lot about. So I'd be really happy to talk about that.
Beautiful, beautiful. So Mark, you wrote an article inside of Marketing Land that is kind of the, it's kind of the framework for today's conversation. The article is Social Media in 2018, Time to Grow Up or Get Out. And over the last week or so, we've really seen some of the big skeletons come out of the closet as it pertains to Facebook. Do you want to kind of, can you set the stage for us on that?
Well, yeah, I think when you say the last week or so or a couple of weeks, what we're really seeing is the public is becoming aware that things that a lot of us who watch this more closely have been seeing brewing for a while. But my basic thesis is that we are in a crisis moment for social media and social media marketing in particular. We're at a real turning point. Now, it's always tempting to say everything is a turning point because changes happen every day, but we're seeing a perfect storm of a lot of very disruptive things happening. Facebook's getting most of the publicity, but it's happening throughout social media. And I'd actually like to bring out over the course of this some other things that people may not be thinking of, but are almost as impactful on what we do as what's happening at Facebook these days.
Okay, so that's a great place to start. I also want to bring up that, Mark, over last week, I was Thursday, Friday at a digital marketing conference, and this was not industry specific. So it wasn't digital marketing. It was more like marketers that are trying to speed up their sales process. And what I detected in that room for the very first time in my career was real anger and frustration towards Facebook and really the big brother nanny state that we're seeing play out. Are you feeling or seeing that out there in pop culture right now also?
Oh my goodness, yes. I mean, certainly in pop culture. I mean, we have not seen this much attention on this level of detail of what Facebook does, I don't think ever before in popular culture and in popular media. But also within the marketing community, and people are pretty shaken up and they're asking each other, what do we do now? Do we abandon this? Is social media marketing dead? Is it just not going to be as effective as it used to be? Where do we go from here? And that's why I see it as such a shakeup. And that's why in my article, I compare it to what happened in SEO not that many years ago. And what I saw happen in that industry, I think, is a lot of parallels to what's happening in social media marketing now.
And I think what you're referencing is how the system was scammed by marketers or content creators in SEO. You and I lived through it. We spoke on stages about it as it was developing. And now you're starting to see that the social networks are making corrective changes, similar to what Google did with Panda and Penguin, in order to either level the playing field or bring content more in alignment with what could be socially acceptable.
Right. And most of what, just as with Google, I mean, Google had to make those changes that they made because it was way too easy, not all that many years ago, to just game Google search results,
right,
to do all kinds of, just tricks and hacks and techniques that would get you to the top when maybe your content really didn't deserve to be there. So Google wanting to serve up the best results for its users, they had to go after that. And what it cause was a real shakeout where some people did give up on SEO at that point, said, if the tricks don't work, I'm not interested. But the real marketers got down to real marketing and said, this is actually good for us. We need to learn to produce better quality. We need to be able to be thinking about the end user and their experience and all these things that Google is pushing them toward. So even though what's happening in social media right now, especially with Facebook, I think is a lot more negative and is a lot more tragic in the way that it's come out, I'm hopeful that the end result will be the same, will be that we will emerge with a more mature, better marketing industry working on social media.
Yeah, I can see that too. I'm just laying my cards on the table. My investigative news reporter spider senses are tingling like you wouldn't believe right now, because I'm starting to feel like there's more meat on the bone here than what Facebook is letting on. And I'm starting to get the feeling that Google, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube are, that there's bigger news about to drop, and that part of this is just the first wave or the first phase. And so I've been, over the last several years, kind of already morphing my followers to understanding how to be successful without the social networks. And that has been something that I haven't been telegraphing, but I've been teaching, because I think there's a larger cancer that's going to be, and I don't want to be conspiratorial, but from information that's been shared with me, I'm suspicious to where this industry is going, and yet cautious in the way that I'm explaining it publicly. Does that make sense?
It very much does. And I'm feeling quite the same way, actually. And just like you, I have my sources, people that I listen to and people that I get information from. And I agree. I think we haven't seen the bottom of this. We haven't seen the bottom of the scandals. We haven't seen the bottom of the revelations about what's going on. We haven't seen the bottom of the shakeup that it's doing, where, you know, something, you see these movements like, you know, delete your Facebook account. And it's easy to get cynical about that and say, yeah, people will say that, you know, next week they'll forget about it. But I think we're seeing something where there could be real impact in terms of users, not only users, whether on networks or not, but also becoming more savvy about protecting their information, which makes it harder for advertisers trying to use that information to target. So, yeah, I would agree with you that disruption has probably only just begun.
With great powers comes great responsibility, right? Peter Parker taught us that. Yeah. And I actually think, it's Peter Parker's uncle who taught us that. And it feels like the social networks have so much information on all of us that they need to be using that information in the most acceptable way possible. They need to be held to a very high standard in order for us to want Alexa in our bedroom, or my Siri device in the office while I'm talking about things that may be private. And I think my big concern is the violation of people's privacy ultimately can end up turning into a massive gravitational pull away from social media and into people actually owning their own traffic, bringing that traffic through their own journeys and being more resourceful without needing those platforms. And that is a continental shift that would take place inside of digital marketing.
Yeah. Well, two things on that. One, first of all, just kind of a confirmation of the first thing you were saying, is just today I saw a news item that said that Facebook is going to delay releasing their own smart home speaker, which they were prepared to reveal at their upcoming developers conference. And they're doing that because they realize the timing right now of, you know, putting a Facebook device in your house that's listening to you, this is probably not a good time for them to be doing that. So maybe there's some good news in here that these large networks are beginning to lose some of their hubris and beginning to think a little proactively, beginning to think about other areas where they may need to pull back or they may need to be more careful. We'll see on that. The other thing, though, is that I don't think people are going to give up on social. They just may be less involved with some of the bigger names that we kind of assumed would always be there. So people are still going to be online. They're still going to be having discussions. They're still going to be wanting to follow up with friends and communicate. It's just going to be happening more and more in different ways and perhaps on diverse networks.
Right. Like I see now people moving towards Gab, which I know that you're quite familiar with, as a way to get their private conversations disconnected from what their search history is that could eventually be used against them as if they're building a portfolio of information about how they think or how they're likely to vote. And I know that in the last few weeks with that Austin bomber, part of the information that was used to hone in on who that bomber was pulled out of his Chrome browser search history that was they were able to tap into remotely in order to figure out who was looking for this information within that region. And that Right. is problematic, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, well, it's the kind of thing, again, going back to the big change that we're seeing here is that the general public is now becoming very aware and very educated on those things. Driving into work this morning, I turn on NPR, and the one story that I hear in my 10-minute drive to work is about the extent of the information that Facebook has on you and how much information Facebook has on people that don't even use Facebook and how they use that to, for example, try to make connections between people via a third party. So, yeah, definitely more than ever before. People have always kind of known this was happening in very vague ways, but now it's very much in your face. And we're having to think through these issues. And bringing it back to us as marketers, it means that our approaches are going to have to change. We're not going to have some of the easy-to-use and quick tools that we had before. We're not going to have some of the targeting options that we had before. So that's what I'm talking about when I say we need to grow up as marketers. We need to learn to market in ways that we earn people's attention, that we earn audiences, rather than just trying to sneak our way into those audiences.
And we may be discovering, you know, if I'm following exactly what you're saying, we may be discovering that some of the original targeting tools were so easy that as marketers, we have to be a bit more crafty. We have to hone our message. We have to hack attention. We have to do a better job creating the journey or the story that we bring people down. Maybe it's more about honing our traditional marketing skills and then incorporating that with some of the newer technology that's available without violating, of course, people's privacy. It is a dynamic balance that marketers are going to have to play and use going forward.
Yeah, I mean, it's already in play because what a lot of people misunderstood, for example, about the Facebook announcement back in January, this is before even all these data sharing scandals hit, when Mark Zuckerberg announced that they were going to be radically changing the news feed, which they very much did, to favor real engagements, real meaningful interactions, as they put it, between real people, and downplay content and things in the stream that is more passive, that people just kind of look at and don't interact with or don't engage with in meaningful ways. So what was often misunderstood about that is a lot of news came out and said, like, well, Facebook's basically cutting off publishers and cutting off businesses, and only friends and family are going to show up in your feed, which was not true at all. It meant that what you are seeing more of in the feed when you see branded content is content that actually is meaningful to the users. Quick example of that, you know, this is one I use a lot, but it just always comes to my mind, is that my wife and I are members of REI, a major cooperative outdoor equipment manufacturer. We're fanatical members. We're actual members because it's a co-op. You can join it and get benefits from it. But we love the way that they interact with their community because they publish a lot of content about the outdoor life, the outdoor lifestyle. And they show their employees engaging in that lifestyle and so on and so forth. So it's the kind of content that I want to see, that I want to share with my friends, that I want to talk about. That's still working. So the overall message here is don't abandon social media, don't abandon digital marketing channels, but begin to think of them more in these ways, like you were talking about, some of the traditional aspects of marketing combined in with newer insights that we have about how to build communities, how to build audiences. We've learned a lot from these years on social media. We've learned a lot of bad things, perhaps, a lot of bad habits that we now have to give up. But we've also had opportunity to learn some good things, to get surprised by what does work that we can still apply.
Mark, what I love about the REI example that you just used is Facebook will reward you if that content is of higher relevance to the audience based on how the audience engages with it. And so if you're a really good marketer, instead of talking about the products that you could buy at REI, instead, a smart marketer is going to be catering to that community, is going to create content that's highly relevant. And the more relevant it is to that community, the more valuable, the higher the engagement, the more the shares, and all of those organic signals. And the beauty of it is a marketer doesn't have to scream out and say, buy our Coleman grill. Instead, when they show it in action or in the story, it's now highly relevant, and it's almost like product placement, like we've learned to see in television, but hyper-relevant to that specific audience.
And it brings us to another example of how what I mean when I say that it's time for us to grow up as social media marketers and to become real marketers, to apply the wisdom of the ages, as it were, that's come down from the general traditional marketing community, as well as the new things that we've learned in the digital community. It's a great example of that, because when it used to be that the main metric on social media was engagement, just engagement for engagement's sake. And that drove a lot of businesses to just do anything that would get people to, you know, do a thumbs up, to like, to say, you know, put a short comment, like great, great post, something like that. That's the kind of stuff that Facebook says they found doesn't create anything useful for users and makes people actually hate being on Facebook more. So the thing is that nobody was thinking about is most of that content had no real business value.
Right.
You know, if a company like REI was posting funny cat pictures because they get a lot more likes and they have a lot more comments, you know, whoopee, because maybe 2 years ago it got them, boosted them up in the Facebook algorithm, but it did nothing. It would have done nothing for them as a business. Whereas the kind of content that you and I are talking about that we see from them that they do so well, not only is engaging, entertaining, informative, and fits my lifestyle, you know, fits my interests, but as you said, it also bridges the gap to their brand goals. It creates the aura around them that they want to have of the kind of people who will become their customers.
It's so cool. You know, you and I are social media friends. I follow you on your hikes, and I get to see your weekend where you're going to a different peak, and you get to take a photo on the top, or you show a stream along the way. And it all makes sense now that you are that target customer for REI, right? That the information that you gravitate towards is information about how your hobbies, your time away from work could be more rewarding for you. And so it makes sense when a company like REI is catering to that audience, and how a marketer needs to mature through the process. I love hearing you explain it and then get to watch you on social as you live it. I mean, it's just a really nice consistent circle there.
Yeah. I think another aspect, this is something that that Rand Fishkin shared out today, that he shared a new deck that he's done at a recent conference, where he's talking about the importance of creating demand. And this is another one of those traditional marketing topics that digital marketers have perhaps forgotten and now need to be reawakened to. But the importance of connecting, like realizing the needs of your target audience and structuring your brand's message, structuring your brand's story around, we're here to solve a specific problem. We're here to fulfill a specific need. And we do that like nobody else. And when I say it, you don't say it that way. It's not braggadocio, but your message comes across that way. Your message is crafted to meet that so that people want to see, because these social networks, no matter what happens in their algorithms, they're always going to want to continue to show content that people actually want to see. And that doesn't matter. They don't care if that comes from their neighbor next door, or if it comes from a company with 10,000 employees. If it's content that people connect with, that speaks to their emotions, that speaks to their needs, their wants, their desires, and subtly and subtle and important ways, like that REI content, yep, doesn't come right out and say, you know, so you need to buy your boots from us. It just says like, hey, we're on the same page as you. We're in your wheelhouse. And it makes you more want to explore what they have to offer.
Yeah, it makes you want to support them more, right? We love the same things. We're passionate about the same outcomes, right?
Right.
All right, so earlier you spoke about the Facebook newsfeed change. We also know that Twitter has cracked down on bulk posting, which that one to me also resonated with the changes that we saw out of the Google search algorithm in the past about making Twitter a better environment. Can you touch on that for us?
Yeah, so just to catch the audience up on what happened there in case they're not aware, Twitter announced a few weeks ago, and it went into effect last Wednesday as we're recording this, a new policy that they will not allow substantially similar content to be posted from multiple Twitter accounts at the same time. So it was a little hard to figure out what they were talking about at first. We have more clarity on that now. Basically, they're talking about the kinds of tools that many of us in the marketing community use, whether it be like a Hootsuite or a Buffer or whatever. There's many of them that allow you to schedule posts in advance. And the temptation to make life easier for yourself, if you're supporting multiple accounts, like we do here at Stone Temple on Twitter, we have, you know, my account, we have Eric Enge, our founder's, our CEO's account, we have a company account. So the easiest thing to do is just, you know, craft a tweet and then schedule on all three of those social networks. So that's not allowed anymore. You have to make something unique and creative between them, or just retweet between them. That's okay too. But you can't just post the same thing. I did this not because of marketers so much, but because of all of their bad publicity about allegedly, you know, foreign agencies and other people using that mass ability to manipulate things like our elections here in the United States.
And Mark, I'm glad you brought that up. We had a listener to this podcast that about a month ago reached out to me and asked me about bots and what I thought about the bot problem. You and I had a little side conversation, and I think it's obvious to us that the bot problem is something that the social networks have not only known about, but have participated in, and that'll come out in a future news drop down the road that, you know, they really haven't been doing too much talking about, but it's good to see them cleaning up their own house.
Yeah, it's, you know, if you can feel Twitter's pain on this, is that one of the things that Twitter has always struggled with, and it's affected its stock price, it's affected a lot of things about it, is the perception that it's just not growing and it's not getting users, in fact, maybe losing users. And if a substantial number of the active users that they show are bots, and they go and eliminate all of that overnight, they look a lot worse than they than they do currently. And it's probably actually their more reality.
You know, one of the things that Gary Vee has said over the years that always makes me chuckle is about how marketers always wreck the next great thing. Like marketers wrecked email, right? And I've got 49,000 unanswered emails because of marketers wrecking my inbox. And once there was the ability for you to automate and schedule your tweets out across multiple platforms, that was great for marketers, but eventually it became a content problem on those platforms. And maybe no platform more than Twitter has really suffered from making their audience drink from a fire hose of content that doesn't have real people behind it, engaging around it, or following up. And I just knew there would be a day where Twitter had to correct that. But while it was still the Wild West, you know, I would schedule out my posts and I would make sure that those were available so I could put my resources somewhere else. But I also started to notice that as I did that, interacting with people, other people that had posts that were sharing became less and less valuable because they weren't replying back because they weren't there in real time and they were prioritizing other platforms. So it's good to see us getting to that point with Twitter.
Yeah. And as I'm saying with all these things, like this had to happen. These corrections, again, on social media, it's a bit sadder because it's happening because of things that are frightening to people on a personal level, things that are frightening to our societies. If we think about the possibility that elections are being manipulated, that people's opinions and worldviews and thoughts are being manipulated in these ways. I mean, it's a lot more frightening than anything that ever happened on Google. But in any case, it had to happen. And we were on a crazy train. You know, you just mentioned about like all of us were doing that, right? We were, you know, automating as many things as we could. And because you have to scale and you only have so much budget, you only have so many people and so much time to spend on something like social media. So, but you see everybody else, you see your competition, like they're there 6 times a day, you know, so I got to be there 8 times a day. And it becomes this crazy arms race. And, you know, our friend Mark Schaefer pointed out 4 years ago in his seminal post, Content Shock, that this could not continue. You just cannot keep pumping out unlimited, infinite amounts of content in these feeds and expect to get the same amount of attention.
Mark, it always goes back to authenticity, doesn't it?
Yeah. And you know, this is the weird wake up call is that, you know, social media, I know it's cliche, it's so often pointed out, but it's social media.
Right.
That's the whole design of it. And we've lost that. And so here now to me, it comes down to, you know, my first point in my Marketing Land article, when I get down to like, okay, you know, everything's bad, everything's terrible, we're all screaming in the streets. What do we do? My very first point is, decide if you even need to be on social media or be on social media, at least in the way and to the extent that you might have in the past. That's something I would never have given out as a recommendation before, but I think it's serious because it's a business decision like anything else. Like if social media now means you've got to be more social, which means more personal, which means more time, more people time invested from your company in it, then you have to make that decision. It's like how many customer service people do you put in your store? If you have a brick and mortar store, you know, how staff do you keep your customer service desk? So do people, you know, it's going to cut down your costs if you have fewer people there, but it's going to mean more people waiting in line and getting angrier about the problem that they have. So with social media, I think now is the time to make real business decisions about, are we going to be social on social media, and realize if we're going to do that, it's going to mean more time investment and more investment in quality over quantity.
And this is why in your article, you also talk about be superior or go home, right? Like be great, be authentic, be engaging, tell a really powerful story and cater to that community, or don't do it at all. Do you agree with that?
Yeah. And you know, the thing is like, I almost cringe to write that because it's nothing new. It's something that,
right,
any social media expert, so-called, has been saying, you know, always if you be engaging, be real, be authentic. It's stuff you always hear. But the thing is, in the past, most of us marketers tended to go like, awesome, be authentic, be engaging. Like, okay, how many posts can I get out this week through Hootsuite?
Right.
So now we're being, just like Google had to force
it's the
SEOs
same thing.
To stop doing the easy thing and start thinking in terms of like, okay, maybe it'd be better if we had created 10 pages that really help the user and that really provided great information than to create, you know, 1,000 pages that just have keywords on them. In the same way, we social media marketers are now being forced to stop, you know, saying, engagement, be authentic, and saying, no, that's the only way forward. And if we're going to use this tool, we've got to learn to do it that way. And we've got to decide if it's worth the investment to do it that way.
You know, as a business owner, I understand, and maybe as a digital marketing professional, I understand the value that social media provides for me. You know, when I post and my friends see it, I really end up becoming a thought leader to my friends or my followers. And the net result is the next time that one of my friends start having a conversation at dinner or in their office about video or digital marketing or social tactics, my name comes up, I get a referral, and it starts off my whole entire business. I'm tip of spear, right? And it seems like it doesn't matter if you're a digital marketer, if you are somebody who handles life insurance or you deal with cars and you sell cars or you're a realtor, that same basic tool of using your social platform to be a thought leader and to answer questions and to remain top of mind in your marketing is an essential tool that'll be around for quite some time. You just may not be able to reach everybody in your that's following you unless you're dealing with some ad spend. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, and I think that you touched on an area there that gets, a lot of jaded digital marketers will kind of smile and say, roll their eyes when you say something like thought leadership, because it's become kind of, it's like influencer marketing. It's become a cliche and it's become abused.
Right.
But I still really believe in it. I believe in the power of it. I know you know it. I know I know it for our business, how much it's meant. And what I'm talking about here is instead of just having, so let's graduate now from, REI is good at portraying a corporate message and a corporate brand, a corporate ethos that works for them. But I think in a lot of cases, especially for smaller businesses, where now we're talking about where you've got to become more personal, more authentic, more engaged, all these things, it makes more sense than ever for the leadership within that business, the thought leadership, the experts within the business to be present on social media. And to be talking and having, because they're the people that can have real conversations.
Yep.
They're the people that are interesting to follow. When I get access to somebody who is an insider and a smart person at a company that I have some interest in or that I might do business with, that's very meaningful to me. And it makes that human connection that I think that's the area for me I'm emphasizing with our clients, like, this is what social has to be about in this next generation of social. It has to be about personal connections.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I also noticed that, when somebody reaches out to you on social, you are real. Like, you'll interact with them, and it doesn't matter if they have less followers than you. You're looking at it as an opportunity to gain influence, to make friends, have real meaningful relationships. And it feels like the more guru the marketer gets, the more often they slip and forget what you intuitively already know, which is you still have to be engaged, and maybe you have to be even more engaged because they're looking at you for authenticity also.
Yeah, I mean, it's so true. And there's different ways to do it, certainly by that personal engagement, something, to bring it toward your wheelhouse. This is what makes video so powerful. And, the way we're seeing the new wave of using video rather than just kind of the traditional ad style or, slick commercial style video, videos that tell a real human story or videos that are even just somebody from the company sharing a thought or sharing an insight. Our Here's Why videos that that Eric and I do for Stone Temple here.
Absolutely.
Have been so powerful to us because when we get out in public, when we're walking around at conferences, it happens time and time and time again. Now, somebody walks up, somebody who could very much be a prospect for us, walks up and says, like, hey, you're the guys from those videos. We watch those. You're funny. We learn stuff from them. Everybody in the office sits around and watches them, and they want to meet us. And a conversation starts that wouldn't have happened otherwise.
Absolutely.
So there's different ways to find that kind of personalization, that real engagement.
I actually think you guys do it among the best. If somebody walks into my office for the first meeting and they don't reference that they've seen my videos, or they don't make some type of like, oh my God, you're real type of a comment, then in my mind, I'm thinking my front game, my early awareness stage content, I didn't execute it right, because the way I know that I've teed up the relationship by the time they get into my conference room is, I know that they're in a really great sweet spot if they know me before they meet me, because if they know me before they meet me, yeah. Mark, they're like 75% going to convert. And it's not about pricing. They already know, like, and trust me, and they're not going to start that process over. And I know that you and Eric experienced that same thing.
it's so powerful. And it's again why I'm bullish on social media right now. Even though social media has taken a huge hit and it's going to get more difficult, I'm bullish on it because I think that's its strength that we've so diluted as marketers by treating it like just another channel to broadcast on and to advertise on. We have forgotten its real power. And so I would rather now be focused on things we're talking about right now, the things that break down the human barrier, that make it personal, that make it make people feel like they have a connection with your brand that's human. These things social media can do like few other outlets that we have. And so I think this is why I'm not giving up on social media. If anything, I'm doubling down on it.
Right.
It's just doubling down on the things that actually work with it.
Okay. So this is our industry, right? Like we own social and digital and content and video. This is our home. And as thought leaders in the industry, do we have a responsibility to protect some of the things that make America great? For example, you and I agree on maybe, and I know this from cocktails, we agree on maybe 75% of the same political stuff, but that 25% is so important for you to disagree with me on because you have that ability to show me where my thoughts might be wrong or how I could see it from a different perspective and make smarter decisions. And as digital marketers, what responsibility do we have in the platforms that we go out and champion to our customers and to the world to make sure that those platforms remain open areas for free discussion without people being penalized or shadow banned, like we heard from Twitter or, any of these things? Do we have that kind of responsibility, or are we just business people using a business tool?
Well, I think if we don't take that responsibility, we're going to lose tremendous opportunities that we've taken for granted. So from a purely selfish standpoint, I think we should be invested in that. I think we should be interested. I'm making sure that I'm keeping myself informed, not just on the issues in social media that directly affect my marketing. I'm not just worried about, has Facebook taken away this or that metric or this or that targeting ability. I'm also keeping very close tabs on the whole issue and the type of information that they have and things like that, because I know that our whole industry is under scrutiny for this. People are aware, most of the ire is turned on Facebook or Twitter these days from the public, but they're becoming more and more aware that these techniques were developed by and for us. They were developed by the marketers. So all the things that you hear seeing these very creative and hacky ways of using personal data and of influencing people, those things were birthed in the marketing community. Now, sure, nefarious people have taken them to go do other things with them. But I think we do have some responsibility there.
And there's nothing that I just want you to know that even though we may disagree on 25%, there's nothing you could say that I would be offended by. I'm a sticks and stones guy, okay? Used to be a sticks and stones culture. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. There's nothing that you could say that would make me think that you are evil and you should be banned. And I'm sure you feel the same about me, right?
But of course, that's a large part because we know each other in real life. You mentioned cocktails before. We've sat down at conferences and had long discussions. We've gone out to dinner together. We've walked around town and talked deep about the things. The trick is, how do we do that on social media? Because I think we've become aware maybe I should say it this way, the false assumption was that when we connected on social media, it would be just the same as real life.
Right.
And the conversations would be the same. But we all know so many examples of how it doesn't go that way.
Right.
And so how do we find a way to have, and especially as marketers, as brands who want to be engaging people, I think sometimes that does involve taking some stands, stands on issues, whether in your industry or tangentially involved and related. And how do you do that in a way that is inclusive, that keeps your audience with you, that doesn't alienate people? It's something we're still feeling our way out. We don't know all the answers of how to do that yet.
And it's healthy. You know, being a part of that conversation is healthy because I may discover, God forbid, that I have looked at these things the wrong way. I actually recently got flipped on a subject, a political subject, that I thought my whole life I felt, and then somebody flipped me on it, and now my eyes are really open on a topic, and that wouldn't have happened if censorship was taking place or if speech codes were in place. And I do think, and this is a scary thing for me to say, because we are beholden to the digital gods in our results, and I do think there's a responsibility from inside the industry to start helping to guide them into the right direction. And to me, that feels like it should be somewhat of an even playing field for all parties, just as long as their comments aren't physically violent. And I know you already agree with that.
Oh, totally. And it's another way in which our industry, social media, can grow up in a way that I've seen, not completely, but I've seen largely in the SEO industry. The SEO industry, you know, you go to an SEO conference these days and or in the last few years, and there's talks about, you know, ethical SEO. There's talks about, you know, the ethics of and the meaning of content that go into a deeply human level. Whereas you go to a social media conference and it's all like, you know, how to get 75% more followers, how to get 3 more likes, how to get, it's all just tips and tricks and hacks. That's where we've got to grow up. You know, I'm hoping to see now in social media conferences and social media forums and discussions, a lot more discussions on the kind of things that you were just talking about.
Oh my God, Mark, there's so many parallels to what you and I experienced in the early days of SEO to what we're experiencing right now. And I'm so glad you brought it up. Those conversations, like when Google would roll out Panda or Penguin, I remember the conversations like at SMX, the real anger from SEOs that felt like they had to take major steps backwards. And the same thing I saw this last week at a marketing conference with people that are just starting to understand the ramifications of what's happening at Facebook and Twitter. It's that same anger, but let's hope it's all about cleaning it up, learning from it, doing the right way so you can better serve those people that are following you.
I mean, just it's linked to a vital life lesson, right? That I think as a lot of us, as we get older, we hopefully learn, and that is there isn't a lot of value in getting anger. And that's not to say there is a time for anger. There's even a usefulness for anger when it can turn to productive action. But just staying angry and just blaming everyone and saying, like, you know, Google's trying to destroy my business or Facebook's trying to destroy my business, it's not productive. You got to say, if we're going to be in this game, as I said, for one thing, you should have realized, and maybe now you are realizing, that all the changes we're seeing were inevitable. They had to happen.
At some point,
right? It's sad,
again,
that they happened the way they have, but they had to happen. So, you know, that's why the harshness of my title of my article is, you know, grow up or get out. I think it's literally that time in social media. You know, get over it. It's not going to go back to the way it was. It's never going to be the way it was again. Figure out how to be a real marketer. Figure out how to get real value to your audience. Figure out how to build an audience that will find you and want to hear from you no matter where you are, no matter what happens to the algorithm. Those are the things you got to be concentrating on, not your anger at Facebook.
And what we discovered years ago when Google started cleaning up its search game is it was all about content quality. It was all back to the fundamentals and making sure that you're providing something that is of value to that audience. And so I feel like we're just getting right back there, and it's an opportunity, like you mentioned so eloquently, to get it right, to better serve people. And we had to go through this, and we're just witnessing it right now. This may be the first of several big news stories to to drop along the way. But Mark, I'm hoping that you and I can check back in with each other as this topic develops so we can give our audience an opportunity to see where the real chance and the real path to growth will be for their business. And few people do it better than you and Eric Enge at Stone Temple. And I'm so grateful that you carved time out of your day to come here and talk with me about this developing topic.
Well, as you know, I'm always happy to do that with you, Todd, and certainly would be glad to do that in the future. If I can just grab one thing out of what you just said that I think is so essential to emphasize, even though I've said it many times over the years, I've said it earlier in this podcast, but I think it's so important to emphasize this. Don't do these things we're talking about. Don't make these shifts just because it's the new trick or the new hack. It's the new way to hack the algorithm. Do them because they actually make the best sense for your business. The things that Google has pushed us toward, the things that you know Facebook and Twitter and other social networks are pushing us toward now, even though they're pushing because they have to for their business, guess what? Most of it ends up being what you should have been doing anyway. Yeah. Most of it ends up forcing you to create the kind of content, the kind of engagement, the kind of interactions that really are meaningful for your brand and your business. And the stuff you were doing before, while it might have gotten you great score points, it really wasn't gaining you that much for your business.
Yeah, that's right. Huh? Gaming the system is where people traditionally have gotten into trouble. But if you walk the path to creating really great information that's authentic and valuable, then these types of changes that take place really don't affect you much. And that's why Here's Why is a timeless piece of, it's a timeless series because it doesn't get changed by the changing winds of an algorithm. Instead, it's just really valuable information to the target audience, services them very well, and people continue to learn, share, and grow from that information, and then ultimately follow you guys as their gurus. And we see that time and again with what we do, and we know it's happening with what's happening, you know, with what you're doing at Stone Temple. And it's fun to watch this play out, Mark.
Absolutely. You know, and again, so that I'm, even though I'm in some ways reeling from this, like the rest of us, and yep. In some ways very concerned and agitated by a lot of what's happening, I'm happy. I'm optimistic. I'm glad that we are having to grow up as an industry, that we're having to become real marketers. I think the people that deserve to shine are going to continue to shine into the future.
Well, he's Mark Traphagen. He's one of the many rock stars that calls Stone Temple a home. For more information on Mark, go to stonetemple.com. I recommend you follow Mark off of all of the different social networks. And we'll make sure on the show notes page for this episode that you can get access to Mark's article on Marketing Land. It is a definitive piece for where we are right now in 2018. It's called Social Media in 2018, A Time to Grow Up or Get Out. And that'll be on the show notes page. Mark Traphagen, thanks again for bringing your wisdom to this podcast.
Thank you, Todd. Always a stimulating conversation when I engage with you. And I know you have one of the smartest audiences out there, so I'm glad to be speaking with them today as well.
Well, that's my digital marketing soul brother, Mark Traphagen. You know, I think like you, I'm just struggling with what's going on with social media. The big picture takeaway is just be very authentic with your content. Make sure that people have an opportunity to learn from you, be a part of the culture. I was recently on a business's website, and I saw something really interesting. I saw that they provide a service, but the first thing you see when you come onto their website are products. And there's a disconnect. There's a big gap between the products that you are going to sell them and the service that you provide them in order to make smart decisions on those products. And if you provide a service, if you're not just selling a commodity, I want to make sure you understand that you need to bridge that gap, tell a really smart story. Remember what Mark was saying about REI. That's an important takeaway here. Use that story to bridge the people that come onto your website with information that takes them on that journey to where those products now become a viable, important option. and a decision for them to make in order to better service their needs. And when you do that, when you bridge that gap, you enter the story from where your prospect enters your website, what's going on inside their brain, and you bring them through the process, people will buy at freakish rates. And when it comes to social media, just brace yourself. We're entering an era where a lot of information is going to be revealed. The stuff that I've seen already isn't pretty, and it's not just Facebook, but Google and Twitter and YouTube and all of the biggest names that control our life today. And there will be an adjustment period. That adjustment period is healthy. It's just like when a family member of yours has an addiction problem and they hit rock bottom and they need to be lifted up. I think there's a really beautiful place for all of these social networks. There are people that in our lives that we reconnected with, that we didn't know where they were for 20 years, and we found them again on social media. And that is a really great place to be able to connect with people, to gain influence, to grow an audience, to grow your business like I have off of it. And in time, in I believe a short amount of time, and it's just going to be coming up in the next weeks to 6 months to a year, I think this time frame is really going to happen before the next general election. And so you're going to have a correction period. And it's understandable when you realize that for an 8-year period, social media was exclusively nurtured by one side of the political spectrum, and another side got left out or got banned or got censored. And you're seeing that play out. And all of that is going to be corrected in real time, one way or another, either as a government regulation, a business cleaning itself up, or the market doing its job in showing disinterest until that business corrects itself, or somebody ends up creating the alternative space where free speech and free discussion and your privacy is honored. All of that will happen. But just be patient through it. And I will continue to do my job, which I think is my responsibility, to make sure that you know what's happening along that road so you can make smart business decisions. And to lay my cards on the table, I do not think it's the time to not be using Facebook for your business or Google or Twitter or Instagram. I personally have several Facebook campaigns that I'm running for not just clients, but with my own money right now, because Facebook still is the most advanced, powerful ad targeting platform the world has ever seen. And you shouldn't miss that opportunity. Let the market correct itself. Encourage it. Encourage these social networks to go in the right direction, and you will see amazing results. All right? It's just like we've seen over the years when restaurants were cooking French fries in harmful oil, which I think is a bad example because fried food is still harmful. But the market makes corrections and it does it so much quicker. And you'll get to see that play out in the coming months. All right. So on behalf of my crew here at Wirebuzz, the team at Stone Temple, which are so good at content and search and social, stonetemple.com is where you should go. We'll continue to keep your eye and your information as fresh and relevant as possible as these digital topics start to play out right before our very eyes. If you want to get access to how to guarantee that your projects generate an ROI, and I know that nobody cares about video, nobody cares about content or social media. What you really care about is how to generate a return on investment. I know that to be true. I've never had a CEO come into my conference room and tell me, you know what, Todd, you know what we need? We need more social because we want to be seen. What they all tell me is, this is great, but how does it generate an ROI, right? That's all that matters. And I feel the same way as the owner of a small business, as somebody that caters to businesses that are enterprise level to startup. I understand that intuitively. So on my website, I created a 5-part web-based mini course that teaches my secrets to guaranteeing that your video projects generate a return on investment. And if you want to get access to that, all you have to do is go to wirebuzz.com/ROI, and that mini course will be available to you so you can be a video marketing master. And if this podcast is valuable, if it's part of your essential learning, go to iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. Rate and review. Pound on that subscribe button in each and every episode. I'll make sure it gets delivered to your mobile device so you can listen to me, stay up to speed on digital marketing. And it's my goal to make sure that you get what I already have, which is a really clear vision of where digital marketing is going years down the road so you can position yourself. Now, earlier in this conversation, I mentioned to Mark Traphagen that I've been telling my audience about how to be successful outside of social media. And that was my way for the last several years to make sure that when this market correction happened, it wouldn't affect you. I've been trying to teach you to diversify, right? That's why I've been talking so much and so often about buyer's journeys that live on your website and how you move people through sequential content on your website and how you use the social networks to pull traffic over, or how you use search to pull traffic over onto your site, and how your sales team uses this same exact content to pull people through your buyer's journeys, because I want you to be insulated from the market corrections that are taking place. That is my way to show you the road that of where we're headed. It's my way to make sure that you know that when changes happen, that you're insulated, right? Because big changes are happening. This is one of the biggest stories of our time. It is playing out right now in front of our very eyes. And it is my goal to make sure that your business prospers during this correction while your competitors are left sitting off to the side trying to figure out how to do it. So you will continue to get next year's digital marketing news right here on this podcast episode and on this podcast series. So make sure, if you're rooting for anybody, that you share this podcast with them so they could be ahead of the curve. And whenever I have an opportunity to bring somebody as a guest on this show, they're going to show you the road ahead. They're going to explain things that I can't, right? Because I want to make sure that you're prepared. And so I introduce you to the people that I consider to be my crystal balls that show you what's coming up down the road so your business can prosper and grow at freakish rates, which is so much fun. And you have that ability inside of your company to start positioning yourself to grow at really nice rates. That's why we spend so much time discussing it. Now, coming up, a couple of big things happening on this podcast. I will tell you that in the summer, I've already booked Rand Fishkin, who's going to be here. Rand is the most famous mustache in all of digital marketing. He'll be coming to this podcast. I'm going to be in Prague in a couple of weeks, working and speaking with clients, and possibly Sweden. I know that the followers in Sweden are working on a date right now. We are going to have digital marketers from who are listeners to this podcast that are all over the world that we're influencing and helping to educate on the road ahead, that are going to be joining us on this podcast to share how video marketing or the state of digital is inside of their country. That's fun. That's coming up in a couple of weeks. And you should know that this morning I booked a very special guest for episode 150. Oh boy, it is coming up. I will record it this Monday, and that special guest will be in studio with me, and we will have cocktails, and for 1 hour, tell you some very special stories and talk to you about some marketing and some entrepreneurial skills that will change your life. That's coming up really soon, episode 150. I won't let the cat out of the bag, but the big cat will be in the studio with me, and I'm looking forward to it like you can't even believe. All right, this is a great episode. Coming up, more news. We've got another news episode that I'm going to be teeing off for you. And if any of you have any smart digital marketing questions, smart or even stupid ones, I don't care. If it's stupid, don't use your name. Just send it to me. Hey, a friend, and you can do friend in air quotes. But send it my way, and I'll be happy to break it down and answer it for you. And I'll continue to do that each and every week right here at Video Marketing Mastery. Peace.